Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the end of October. I forgot we got the slipping extra show in.
Yep.
For October. I think that makes an extra show. Five, maybe.
DH Unplugged number 381. Happy DH-oween, as we call it. DH-oween. Get it?
DH-oween.
DH-oween.
So you're going to get a bunch of trick-or-treaters?
Probably not, since I'm here. My wife's home. I left a few things of candy. My doorbell, I have one of those battery-operated wireless doorbells. And I didn't do this on purpose. The battery went out in the doorbell part where you push it. So I had to get one of those little round, the CR14s, I think they are. You know, those like round batteries.
It's got the doorbell thing uses hearing aid batteries?
Yeah.
That's convenient.
Yeah. You can change that. You change the doorbell. What's not working? Is it my hearing aid? What is it? Anyway, so that didn't work. I took it apart tonight to see if that could be fixed. I didn't have any batteries on hand, so they have to either knock on the door or my wife will keep the house dark.
Yeah, that's my advice.
And the other problem is we have this bridge. We have this really cool, I don't know if I ever told you, this is a swing bridge. You know, one of those bridges that has like a center post, you know, for cars, big bridge. Well, not big bridge, but it's big enough. Two cars fit across either direction. And if a boat comes by, the bridge will swing around the center post. You've seen
this? Yeah, I know those types of bridge, sure.
So the bridge is out as of yesterday. And we just get an alert today. It's going to be closed through.
The bridge is out for cars or for boats?
For cars. They opened it up for boats.
Oh.
For a month.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so the other way that I have to get out of my neighborhood is this kind of long, protracted way around a different direction. That's not a big deal. It's an extra 5-minute drive. However, when I come back from the office to my house down to go that way, I usually go down the back roads. It's really easy, maybe 7 minutes to my house. This is a good 15, 20-minute ride because of traffic and all that. It's a pain in the neck. So that on that side of the bridge, though, there was a lot of houses that would actually that had kids that would cross the bridge and come over for Halloween. So they're stuck unless they're going to ferry across.
Huh.
Which I don't think.
Well, then you probably won't have much action.
Yeah, not at all. Plus the
Yeah, the action is slowed down for all this anyway. Nobody, you know, they don't celebrate Halloween like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And for example, you get somebody like this house, you know, that nobody wants to come up to. Inevitably, somebody would throw a rotten egg at the house because I'm not giving out candy.
Oh.
That'd be in the olden days. Right. You were kind of intimidated. You always had candy. You had to give it out to all these kids. Apples. And then the next thing you know, everyone gets freaky and I hear about these things where you drive your car up into a parking lot with a bunch of other families and you open your trunks and the kids go from trunk to trunk to trunk to trunk picking up candy as though that's similar.
And then they
you
have
know
the,
about this?
Then they did the malls for a while. Remember that?
Yeah, the malls, right.
They meet at the malls and they do that. It's not the same as it used to be.
No.
Yeah, very, very sad. But I was also a little embarrassed to hand out that candy after last week's discussion of how awful the candy was and how my experience with the box of candies was terrible also, and I felt really terrible about giving it out.
Yes, well, you probably should feel terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pump up the opportunities. I was going to actually give out signed books too. The kids would like that.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Since I don't buy a bunch of candy for the kids, if it's never happened, but if they start coming up here because they made the trek, I'll give them a quarter.
Oh, all right. That's good. I used to get pennies back in the day. I'm like, what do you do with the pennies?
And a quarter. You got to give the kid a quarter.
Give a quarter. That's a good thing. They can buy whatever they want.
Yeah.
Or part of whatever they want.
Yeah, right. They get half a candy bar.
Just to quickly, just before we get into the market update, I need to congratulate you and just ask you am I correct in understanding that the 10th anniversary No Agenda show went 8 hours?
Seven and a half.
How'd you do that?
I was surprised. We got a little groggy and I got a little winded in the middle, but it turns out that we can actually do if we wanted to. I wouldn't want to make a habit of it, but sometimes you don't know you can do these things, but I could actually, turns out that I can actually talk for 7.5 hours and so can Adam. We can do 7.5 hours. It actually probably was more closer to 8 because we had to stop tape a couple of times because of Skype interruptions or some other mishaps.
That's a pod marathon. That's like a podathon.
We were waiting for Jerry Lewis to show up.
That's pretty impressive. That's impressive. And then your next show was 4 hours.
Thanks. Yeah, I know the next one was too long too. I think it's just going to get down. We'll be back to normal. With our goal being 2 hours and 45 minutes, we'll be back to normal probably in the next week.
That's amazing. Anyway, let's get a quick update on the markets. Just amazing that nothing is spooking these markets, and that's obviously a play on the Halloween. But NASDAQ rallying hard last Friday after we saw earnings from Microsoft, Google, Amazon. And what was going into that was a bit of concern that, you know, wondering, well, are these companies going to be able to maintain their significant earnings growth trajectory that they've been seeing? And they just blew the doors off. As a matter of fact, Microsoft came in $1 billion ahead of revenues compared to the estimate. $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's not a rounding error by any means. So I don't know why everybody was so off on that, but that was a pretty impressive number.
Yeah, Microsoft is really doing nailing it. They're just hitting the ball out of the park. It's astonishing to me.
Yeah, between their hard and that's with ditching phones and ditching all sorts of things, but their cloud, their Azure, their Microsoft 10, their subscription services, their hardware now with the Surface, and then the LinkedIn purchase they have, which is obviously adding to the bottom line as well.
Well, you know, I have to say that Surface laptop. In fact, Adam's going to move to that Surface desktop because he's having trouble with his Macs. But that little laptop is really a nice piece of gear.
Yep. And I have a friend that used to work at Microsoft, and he follows this stuff very closely. He just sent me 3 different articles on some of the new ones that are coming out with all-day battery life with an AMD chip. What's the other company with the A from London? You know, they have the form that they make, but they don't actually produce it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I will think of it.
Anyway, so they have that chip in it, and they also have a new one that's supposed ARM chip. Yeah, and they have a new one that's going to supposedly they're in production for one that you can fold up. Like, in other words, the screen will bend. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but supposedly they're working on something there. But anyway, these companies have really done quite a job, but obviously the largest companies out there, and they moved the markets tremendously. The NASDAQ was up like 2.5% on Friday. Now, the rest of the market kind of trailed along, nothing major happening there, but still good for record after record after record across the board. And the one thing that did change that was really significant was Jeff Bezos is now the richest person in the world.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, Florida boy. I met him once. Did I tell you I met him once?
How tall is he?
He's not very tall. Mm. Not very tall at all.
Was he bald when you met him? But he have a shaved head?
Yeah, he had a shaved head.
It reminds me of Lex Luthor. I don't know if anybody else sees it that way.
Yeah, and with that evil laugh of his. he has quite the laugh. And it's not like he's one of these guys that also laughs all the time. So he has this incredibly spooky laugh. This gut kind of comes from way down deep laugh. Really loud, and it happens all the time. And you're standing there with him and you can't not smile because you kind of don't want to laugh at him, but it's just the craziest laugh ever. But I met him in the green room at CNBC one time in the early days. Very nice guy. Nice fellows that were around him too. Actually helped me with my podcast back in the day and my audiobook. After meeting them, they gave me the cards and stuff and said, anything we can do for you? So I said, okay, here it is. But a couple other things. So we have several key indicators that are once again showing severe overbought conditions. And the latest one is flashing a sell for the S&P 500. However, these days, the better course of action with any of these indicators seems to be waiting to see if they actually turn. You know, wait until they turn. A lot of times in the past, you would be, okay, they're overbought. All right, I'm shorting. These days, you wait till something turns and if it falls and then get a more confirmation that the trend is really changing rather than trying to hop on this ahead of time, because that has not worked at all.
You don't have a chart here for that, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, I have, you know, you could look at things like the RSI. We have things like put call indicators and Spearman indicators and McClellan indicators.
The RSI, like a dead duck, is an indicator for, doesn't work.
It's not doing it.
20 years.
Yeah. But markets did stop on the tracks on Monday as word was out that the draft of the tax reform will look to phase in the 20% corporate tax rate over 5 years. 5 years. What? Where is that all of a sudden?
Well, they just do it. What difference does it make?
Well, because they're concerned that all these things they're going to do are is not going to be able to be passed with some of the hawkish and deficit hawk Republicans and some of the folks that want a balanced budget. This is just going to blow it out. So if they move it down to 20% initially and reduce personal taxes.
Can they do it over 2 years? You know, bring it down halfway and then halfway again?
I'm surprised that people aren't freaking out over the commentary about a five-year plan. Seems way too long.
And how it sure does.
So you go from 40% down to 20, so it's 4% a year. So next year it'll be 39, well, it's rounded to 40. 40%, well, it's 30, whatever the exact number is. If it's 40, let's say, it's going to just drop 35 and it's going to, or 36, and then they're going to drop it to 30. And then, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. I think that would be better in terms of helping to balance what they expect to do, because they're using dynamic scoring for this. You know how that works?
Mm-mm.
So what they're doing is saying, oh, here's the deal. We're not worried about the budget, because what's going to happen is with all these tax cuts that we're doing, it's going to just unleash an incredible amount of economic activity. And that activity is going to grow GDP. And it's going to offset, because what's going to happen is with all this growth, we're going to actually bring in more taxes.
Yeah, I know that. I know that thesis.
So that's called dynamic scoring, where they don't have to say, well, if we cut taxes here, we have to add something over here. We're going to go on the fly and say, you know what? This is our projections. We're going to base all this on the projections in the future.
Yeah. So they're going to cut taxes knowing that it'll stimulate people spending more money, and which will result in industries growing and growing and growing in China.
China. Well, I guess there's a lot of things in here that I don't understand what they're thinking about doing, because besides the fact that they're going to look to phase out this or phase in this 20% minimum rate at 5 years. Now they were supposed to come out with the total plan on Wednesday. Now they're coming out at least until Thursday. They postponed it today. They talked about taxing worldwide corporate profits.
Ah.
So this is standard in terms of income. Any income that a U.S. citizen makes on a global basis is supposed to be reported and taxed.
Right. That's the way it's been.
Yeah. But that's not the same thing with corporations. That's why companies have set up other facilities and sub-companies, if you will, around the world. And what that's done is allowed them to keep money offshore and pay the tax rate, which is much lower at the various countries around the world. Now, what they're going to say is, and they're trying to throw this out, another trial balloon here, I suppose, is, well, we're going to start taxing all of your profits from anywhere around the world. And I think that could backfire, don't you?
I think it immediately backfires, because another reason for, what's that process where you sell your company to a foreign company?
Oh,
It's something like
that.
Yeah, I can't remember. Somebody in the chat room. You got a chat room there.
Yeah, I got a chat room.
They should know what you're talking about.
Come on, chat room. Help out. Where you sell your company to another company, not repatriate, where you sell it to another company outside the U.S.
The reverse of repatriation, actually. Anyway, so that it seems that that would just encourage that process. And then unless the United States says the following, then it would be, I think it would work if you did it this way. Anybody doing business in the United States has to pay taxes on all their world sales.
Yeah, inversion. Thank you, Suresh.
Inversion, that's what it is. So if you did that, that would be the way to set the America First agenda. because every foreign company just bail out.
Right.
And all that would be left is be American companies.
But the problem with that is then that, I would agree with you that any sales and any, it would be like kind of a sales tax, the equivalent of sales tax. You pay sales tax no matter what state you're in.
Yeah.
You know, what if you well, unless it's shipped and all that other good stuff, but you're supposed to pay sales tax on sales. So yeah, that would be interesting because then you would kick out many of those companies and you would obviously then benefit the U.S. if the tax rates were lower. Although, right, that would make sense. Any sales. It's like a VAT though, isn't it? Isn't that basically a VAT? Isn't that on any sales?
No, it's nothing like a VAT.
But a VAT for companies, not for individuals. Any sales?
No, it's nothing like a VAT because VAT's always value added. So VAT always gets, you can work your books in such a way that you don't make any money and you don't have to pay any tax. Mm. Or you can't do that with a VAT.
Well, I don't think they're going to start taxing. I don't think foreign companies would put up with that. But I do think that worldwide profits for corporations is a reasonable thing to assess, don't you?
If the tax rate was already low down to 20%, then I think you can get away with that.
Yeah.
But if it's high, it's the highest it's ever been, and then start doing that immediately, that would drive people crazy. They'd be selling their inversion or whatever it is. They'd be selling out their companies left and right. Won't work.
Right. Or they'll just take everything outside the U.S. and be done with it.
Yeah.
And take their cookies and go. There's also some other discussions going on here about 401ks. Have you been following any of this?
Uh-huh.
Oh, what a disaster this will be if they – is on one hand that nothing, you know, President Trump, nothing's going to be touched with the 401ks. Nothing will change. Next day, somebody comes out with, oh, we're going to actually increase the level of 401ks. We want to make sure people save. Like, okay, well, now we're talking about like 2,400, 2,500, somewhere in that range of how much is going to be able to be deductible. But one of the things you got to watch though is, you know, what do they say when, how do you know when a politician is lying?
Yeah, he's moving his mouth.
Moving his mouth. So they talk about, we want people to have a, more opportunity to put money away. Well, what does that mean? He doesn't say the next sentence, which is deductible before tax. So in other words, they may increase it to make a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k and say, well, you can put up to $20,000 a year away, $25,000 a year, whatever the number is. But only 2,400 is deductible. That's a big problem. Yeah. Big problem.
Yes. The whole thing's a mess.
Over the years, you remember back in the day or back in way before the day, companies were responsible for the retirement plans of the employees called defined benefit plans. You go work for a company, you go work for the government, you work for your 20 or 30 years, you retire on some percentage of your salary or your last highest averaged 5 years or whatever it was, and you would just kind of get that payment forever till you dropped. Companies said, wait a minute, that's going to be too expensive, right? So what happened was all these plans got developed and we started to see something called defined contribution plans where they were not as onerous on the companies to have to pay out for the rest of the life of their retirees, they would share the cost. There was a variety of different ways of doing it. Then we got into the 401k plans, which was pretty much putting the entire onus of the retirement of the individual on the individual. The company would kick in some of it as an incentive, but it was just such a much smaller piece than what they did with the defined benefit plans. And that helped the bottom line of many companies tremendously, and it hurt retirees in a really big way. But now, the good news about that was that there was some incentive from a tax standpoint to save. And especially for young people, how do you convince a young person to take a part of their salary for their retirement, which is 40 years away, and do it without any benefit right now? Kind of tough. So if you have the tax deductibility of it, at least you say, listen, if you put this in there, you don't have to pay tax here. You don't have to pay tax here. And basically you'll save this money. So that $100 a month you're putting away is really only like $50 a month because you're saving all these taxes, but you get the added benefit of these tax breaks and putting all this money aside for yourself. Yeah, you'll pay taxes on it in the future, but now they're going to lose this incentive. And then all of a sudden we have even more people going to be retiring in the future without enough money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a real mess.
Real mess. Because for whatever reason, we have to lower. There's this necessity for some reason with the government to lower corporate taxes. Like companies aren't making enough money. It's not that they have profits, many of these companies, of $25 million. $2 billion. And they have money in the bank in the billions. It's like somebody's has hurt them or something. It's crazy. And finally on this, House Republican tax writers are planning to keep the top individual tax rate at 39.6. That was the last thing. So it looks to me like what's happening is that a lot of tax benefit is being crafted to go towards the corporations at the expense of the individuals. That's how that's how it looks to me.
Yeah, you're probably right, because that would be natural.
Yeah. And then of course they'll take it to and try to explain it that, well, if companies do better, there's more jobs, and more jobs means this, and the economy is better, and you'll do better because of this reason and that reason. They'll make some kind of
trickle down.
Yeah. All right, and the Fed. Well, we have that bet. We have a two for one bet. You are betting on Yellen. We got a dollar on this. So if Yellen wins, you win $2. If Powell wins, I win $1. That's right. Isn't that how we did it?
That's the current bet, yeah.
So it looks like from all the different leaks and pieces of information that have been put out that Powell is in the lead to take the Fed chair position. That was the latest leak or information presented by the White House. Now, it's supposed to get an announcement in about, I guess, the next week before President Trump goes on his Asia trip. But we saw several different tests of the markets go on, from meetings with Yellen, a meeting with Taylor. Well, I like Powell. Well, I like Yellen. This one's out. This one's in. This whole little process was very fascinating as they were doing this. It was very well scripted. And it was very well scripted, I think, because it was all about what's the market going to like.
Yeah. Well, the market, did it respond, or was just
on Friday?
Paid no attention to at all.
Well, each time we saw something, when John Taylor was going to be potentially, we saw that the bonds sold off a bit. We saw that there was a dip in the markets, ever so slight, but it was clearly right in the same time as the announcement came out. On Friday, when the markets were going up anyway, due to, you know, this whole, all the technology stock earnings and all that. Well, they kind of was sitting there for a little bit, just kind of like this midday, just hanging around. And all of a sudden the announcement came out that Powell was in the lead, and we saw a major spike in the market.
Why?
Because Powell will be pretty much like a replacement for Yellen without basically replacing Yellen with just another face. Very dovish, very agreeable to very to stimulative practices, keeping rates low, doesn't like to rock the boat, very market-oriented, has pretty much voted in favor of everything that's gone on with the Fed since he's been there.
So he's just another Yellen.
Yeah, exactly. Just another Yellen.
What difference does it make whether he gets in or Yellen stays?
Because Trump wants to have his stamp, and he pretty much said this in one of his tweets. He wants to have his stamp on the position. And and he didn't vote for Yellen, right? So that was that bad guy Obama's fault. And even if it was good, he wants to be able to take the credit for it. Think about that. If things are good over time, at least he can say, yeah, I put Powell in. Look how good things are. If he said, well, Yellen's in, well, that's from his predecessor. Seriously.
Well, that's pathetic.
Well, I think that's what it is. I think the vice chair may
be
John.
You're going to win the bet. I'm going to owe you a dollar the way you're seeing it.
Yep, that's the way I'm seeing it. Yep.
Although I think you could say this, make the same rationale if he keeps her. And then saying, I'm going to keep her as my decision. And he's got his stamp on it. Same thing.
Yep.
Who the hell, anyway, who the hell ever points at the Fed chairman and just equates it to who's president?
I don't know, but at least if you look at that, and if all of the things that are going on lately, and there's a lot of things with, of course, the wall, there's a lot, but everything is all about Make America Great Again, which is all about you know, the almighty dollar and bottom line, right? It's really the economics here. It's always the business and people making more money and people having more jobs and the economy is doing well. Look at the stock market. I mean, President Trump tweets about the stock market more than I've seen any president tweet about the stock or talk about the stock market.
That's interesting.
Made a new high. He made a new high.
What if when it starts to crash, if he's going to be tweeting as much about the stock market?
Not his fault. Nope. Won't be his fault. Be somebody else's. But the vice chair is going to be John Taylor. That's the what I'm looking at, because that will then appease many of the deficit hawks and the people that are looking at the Fed as too easy. And John Taylor has been somewhat on the other side of the street about, you know, where rates should be and his Taylor rule equation that he has looking at employment and interest rates and all that. I think that's going to be the combo. That's my best guess would be. Maybe you put Yellen as the vice chair. How weird would that be?
That would be so weird she wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I still haven't received anybody's artwork on Yellen as a South Park character. We don't have that kind of artsy. We're more business, I guess.
We don't have the artsy community that No Agenda has.
Nope. Let's see here. Consumer confidence has hit its highest since December of 2000. And the present situation is really high. Probably do this.
I haven't looked, but what's the VIX?
10. It popped up a little bit last week. It was sub 10 for a while. Then it popped to about 11.5, and then it went right back down. But we are seeing that consumer confidence, according to the Conference Board, which was released the Tuesday before the end of the month, is
that's
really
good
nice
news for the Christmas retailers.
It should be. Meanwhile, they're all dropping.
That might not be a bad thing to think about as an investment.
What?
Well, if they're dropping and you have this consumer confidence number, it seems to me as though that they're going to skyrocket after the numbers come in for Christmas.
But the question is, which retailers? You look at Macy's, it looks terrible. JCPenney just fell off a cliff. Sears is dead.
Well, and I'm not talking about these slouches.
All right, so who are you talking about? You're talking about like a Dick's Sporting Goods? Maybe stock looks like it's been through hell and back. Under Armour just cracked 22% today. What other retailers? Mattel took a nosedive last week.
Under Armour's not a retailer. I would think that might be a good play.
Best Buy? How about Best Buy?
Well, I don't like Best Buy, so.
Okay, so what about H.H. Gregg is out of business?
What about Target? Target's a good
Target
company.
We own Target. I like Target, actually. Target, yes, I'll go with Target. I'll do that. I'm right there with you on that one. Yep. Not Dollar Shave Club. I dropped them this week.
Ah, here we go. We need the story. You made a big fuss and put the blade. But you had a blade. That was like an old-fashioned blade, Gillette Blue Blade.
I got a first of all, I got Dollar Shave Club because everybody said, oh, you got to check out the Dollar Shave Club or a couple other ones like Harry's. So I tried it, and I got whatever they were supposed to get, and I got this stuff. And they were very nice and all that. But the razors, the last couple of batches I got, I'm like, I feel like I'm shaving myself 5 times and I still can't get rid of that baseline stubble.
Yeah, that when you rub your hand across your face, you feel the.
So I kind of got fed up. I'm like, all right, what to do here? And a lot of people said, hey, why don't you try one of these double-edged safety razors?
Oh my God.
So I got one of those. You know, when they have.
I know what they are. And I used to use one when I was, I guess, a kid.
Yeah.
Or when I first started shaving, when it's fine because you have, like, your hair is not so, you know, tough. And it kind of, and you always get cut. I've never used shave without getting toilet paper chunks on your face or the Styptic pencil. You had to have one of those things.
And sting yourself. Oh, I hate those. Yeah, I got
to
probably get one.
Yeah, and you had to have those. And I mean, that, and when they stopped making that blade, I think it saved probably. You must have saved gallons and gallons of blood nationwide.
I used it once so far. Now, I would assume that they've perfected these a little bit because they...
Everybody dumped them. Why don't you get a gem blade, you know?
These are very flimsy blades. They're very, very, very flimsy, you know, and they're like maybe...
They should be.
Yeah, and you know, you pop in the top, you screw the thing back on. I tried it once...
Tightens it up.
Yeah, I tried it. It did do a very good job at shaving. I was pretty impressed. I did not cut myself. I was very careful. Now, I can't imagine if I'm not so focused You know how sometimes you just kind of shave? It's a
well, you might as well just use a straight edge then. You have to be very focused using one of them.
Right. I get the straight edge when I get a haircut. I get it on my neck.
Yeah.
They always do the hot shave and the straight edge. He's like, I got a haircut the other day. They're like, hey, you want the straight edge? I'm like, I don't even want the haircut. I just want the hot shave, lather, and the straight edge, you know? Huh. So anyway.
Well, anyway, go back to the razor blade. So you think it worked?
I tried it once. We'll see. I went to the gym today, so I used the old razor that was in my bag, and it gave me a crappy shave. I'll try tomorrow when I'm at the house. Do you think I need to change the blade that I used once every time? Do I need to change a blade or just maybe use it a few times?
I would hope not. I mean, you should be able to get, for one thing, it's double-sided.
Right.
And so you should be able to get at least two or three shaves off of it, I would hope.
Yeah.
And with today's metallurgy,
yep.
I mean, these are not, you know, the same, it's not the same product that it was obviously, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And which I'm sure that the metallurgy's changed, so the thing's got to be sharper, probably holds an edge better, but it's still this, you know, one or two edges you're dealing with. And if you have one of those Gillette 3, 4, you know, whatever they're called, the modern shaver that's got a bunch of, you know, parallel edges. You can use those more than a few times. And it's, you know, it's just a bunch of little blades.
Well, I'll try it also. If I get any kind of blood at all, I will report that back to you. But right now, we'll try tomorrow. We'll try for a few days and we'll see how it goes.
I remember going through all these different razor ideas. Do you remember, I was thinking about this when you brought that picture up. Do you remember the one that Gillette is the leader. I don't care what anybody thinks. When Gillette had this blade, it had like a ribbon of blades.
Yeah.
And it was and you turn this little knob and it would move the blade. It's like film. It would move it into the one spindle from the other. Remember that thing?
No. Nope. Was it good? It can't be that good because they're not selling it anymore.
Well, no, then they moved on to something else. But I thought it was good at the time. It wasn't cutting you to shreds. I don't know what they went to after that.
I just found that all those razors, they were all good. But I don't know. Maybe I'm looking for something that's just not there.
I don't think there's – I've tried a couple of those myself. I don't think they're as sharp as a brand new Gillette.
We'll see. I mean, well, we're changing this razor every so often, you know, maybe not using it as much, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened with the Jolly Shave Club one. I was pretty pleased in the first batch, but then it just went to hell.
I think it's like everything. I think that the theory that people always believe is that the blades are really sharp in the sample and then they're not sharp after that because it costs too much money to make them that sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just start using like Nair. That would probably just do a good job. Just put it on, lather it up real quick, and then wash it off.
I bet you it wouldn't do a good job.
We used to, you know, during Halloween, speaking about Nair, we used to, in Halloween, have shaving cream. We used to spray on each other and all that. There's always this wise ass that would drive around his car with a bottle of Nair. Did I ever tell you this?
No, but I can believe it.
And you go to school the next day, and some guy would be, hey, Johnny, what the hell? You got a giant hole in the back of your head. You know, every year there'd be somebody, a few people with big holes part of their head that just got nared. It looked hysterical for a while.
Yeah, those days are over.
Anyway, with
now, the kid to be in jail is a terrorist.
Yeah, of course. Only on seen on the DH site. This is a big reveal here. There was a big costume party for charity last night. And if you want to see this, go over to DH Unplugged after the show is posted on the show notes for episode number 381. And you can see this picture. John is going to be able to see it right now. You see that costume?
The guy with the pumpkin head?
No.
Oh.
Look at where it says costume. There's a little button to push. Only seen on DH costume party. Here is Andrew's costume.
Consumer confidence. Oh, costume. I got it. Yeah. Apparently it's on a 1200 baud modem link. Should come up any day. And then try it again. Double click. There it is. Okay, you look like you are. Who is that? SpongeBob? Or no, it's one of the minions.
Yeah, I'm a minion.
You got a minion outfit on, and your wife is a pirate.
Yeah, a pirate. She all she wanted to be was a pirate. A pirate. A pirate. A pirate. Crazy. And there's our office.
So my daughter Jay and her boyfriend Nick went to a Halloween costume party just like this as pirates. But the kicker was they had a bunch of floppy disks and CDs and a thing hanging over them. They were software pirates.
Oh, very good. I like that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good costumes there last night. The guy dressed up like a takeout Chinese food container with all the Chinese food coming out of it and chopsticks.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that was good. There was some good stuff. Let me mention that I was actually at the party, and I guess you put up your tweet of your Trader Joe's picture of all the goods that you got, and my phone was blowing up.
Wow.
With all the responses and people talking about your Trader Joe's grab. So let's finish this all up, because Trader Joe's, of course, is sponsoring the show, not. Would you go back?
Well, I go to Trader Joe's every once in a while. I mean, I look at their wine selection because it's sometimes kind of interesting. Is there anything I go back for? Well, here's the problem. The lines are long in this Trader Joe's, and you feel like an idiot shopping there. And I, like I said, I think everybody there looks like they have indigestion. It's not a pleasant place to be. And so, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way to go back there. The only thing I haven't had in that picture is the chow mein, which I'm sure is dreadful. Hmm. And, the frozen French fries, they had these garlic fries that kind of attracted me. So garlic fries, because, you know, McDonald's has a big special going on with garlic fries. So I said, well, these are garlic fries. So they're just regular French fries. I didn't see any garlic anything. Mm. I didn't notice that they were garlicky or garlic fry-y. So that was a disappointment. They're just French fries, frozen French fries, which is how hard is it to cut up a potato?
Yeah.
So you get the frozen French fries. And what is it? I got some of that Green Dragon sauce, which I would go back for. That's one of the great sauces that most people know about. Mm-hmm. Which is their hot sauce. It's called Green Dragon. And it's like a sriracha, but it's green. Mm. And it's quite good, by the way, if you ever get the chance to use it on a pizza.
Ah, there you go.
Believe it or not. All right. And, of course, I bought some scotch and some wines. And
all right. So let's just say that this officially closes our multi-show review of Indigestion Joe's.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Definitely.
We're over with that. I want to mention we have I have to send one of these to you because I know you like challenge coins. So we created a challenge coin for Investology.
Oh.
Yep. So I'm going to send you one of those. Okay. But anyway, we have a new clients that open accounts and fund their accounts receive one of these and a signed book by me, a personally signed book. So it's only new clients as of, I don't know, this week, I guess. We'll send this to. I was just mentioning a little push for people if they want to do that. Or if you actually looked at the system and the whole program and you didn't fund your account or open the account, that's a new client as well. All right. Constellation Brands. You know, this is the company that owns all these various beers and liquors, right?
Yes, they're huge. They're one of the big ogres in the business. They buy up little wineries that you think they're a little boutique winery and they buy it.
Right.
They own half the wineries in Napa Valley.
Well, they also just bought a Canadian-based company called Canopy Growth Corporation, which is a leading provider of medical cannabis.
Yeah, medicinal. Yeah.
And I guess what they're doing is they're going to come out with cannabis beverages.
That's what the word is. They're actually going to bring out like cans of cannabis beer and cannabis wine. That's what their plan is, yes.
Yeah, that's good. People are going to be sauced.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so I don't know when that's going to actually take place, but we'll see about that. But cannabis beverages
sure
on the way.
I'm sure there'll be a... Yeah, I'm sure it'll be low in THC and high in the other thing.
Oh, you think they're going to balance with both? In other words, it's going to have alcoholic content and THC in there?
I think it wouldn't surprise me.
Wow. That's interesting. You would think that maybe some of these energy drink companies like, the Powerade or power drinks with the various things in it would come out with this and they try to do this. Seems like right up their alley, like the Red Bulls.
Yeah, push a bunch of caffeine in there with the THC, so you can get somebody to have a hallucination. It's a fantastic idea.
Oh, all right. Bitcoin hitting a new high. Actually, I wrote here it passed the $6,300 mark, but now it hit $6,400.
Yeah.
And the headline was that Bitcoin surges after world's biggest exchange announces plans for futures. So now the CME is going to be coming out with Bitcoin futures.
Oh, brother.
The hope is then, and what's going on and why probably
this, I mean, if this doesn't tell you that there's a collapse coming, nothing will.
There's been collapse after collapse. It just comes right back up.
No, I'm talking about a collapse of the entire stock market.
Oh yeah.
I got take you. This with it.
Yeah. Well, I guess the idea is it's going to bring in professional traders and institutional traders. There's really no way to actually. So let's say that I want to invest in Bitcoin for my clients. Okay. There's no real way on any of the structures of any of the ways that we invest money, whether it's with Interactive Brokers or TD Ameritrade or Schwab. There's no way for us to really hold Bitcoin. Now, we could say clients, okay, set up an account over here and we'll fund it for you. But, you know, we can't really transact. You know what I'm saying? It's not consolidated, very difficult. And for some firms, there is an inability for them to actually hold assets of this type. So they have an investment policy statement that says these are the asset classes that we can hold, or possibly only those that are traded on certain exchanges that are easily liquidated, et cetera. And that does not fit the bill for a Bitcoin. So
nothing does.
Right. Well, so hedge fund managers may be able to figure out how to open an account for their hedge fund clients, but your normal everything else, institutional investor and private investment advisor, really can't hold these things. The only way they could do it is through that Bitcoin trust stock that has a weird valuation. You know what I'm talking about? That one that we shorted that time? The BTC.
Oh, yes, BTC, that crazy thing.
BTCM, I think it's called. And so what happens is there's no ability to really keep on top of this. So by having futures, if you have a future and if you have an account that allows futures, which is a commonly traded instrument, then now institutional traders and professionals and advisors that have those type of accounts and a variety of other types of people like where you have they just trade commodities, they could put these in their accounts now. And therefore, you follow what I'm saying?
So interesting. Now. Interesting. Yeah, because you got this in a different vehicle. It's a derivative of sorts.
Right, exactly. So, what will happen now is that's why probably Bitcoin has been surging, is because if you think about that, the amount of money that can actually be put to work is dramatic. And the futures will then push Bitcoin itself, just like the futures market pushes on the S&P 500 and the overall markets, because there's futures behind all of this. Yeah, futures are also trading right now. Well, Bitcoin's 24 hours, of course, 7 days a week. Futures are trading right now on the markets that if hedge funds wanted to or if institutions wanted to hedge out a position or buy a position or be involved, they can do so right now, whereas stocks, you can't, for example. You know, you can only.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, moving along to Japan. Going to the other side here. This I thought was pretty cool. A Japanese firm is giving non-smokers an extra 6 days of holiday, paid holiday time, to compensate for cigarette breaks. So there's a Tokyo office, this based on a Tokyo office block periodical, says that every break lasts at least 15 minutes. They counted it up and they figured that 6 days of smoking that is lost, and therefore the people that don't smoke should get compensated for this. I think this is stupid.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
I think you should nip the people for their 15-minute breaks.
You should just nick them.
The company loses twice here.
Ah, you're right. I think you're right. No, your idea is better.
Yeah. So what you do is you
take 15 minutes off. Yeah. You do it four times. You can do it four times a day, lose an hour's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a privilege, is it? I mean, if you get an hour break a day. Now, on the other hand, if you say, well, what if somebody, let's take a situation where, well, let me ask you this question. If there is, I'm not saying this is fact or not. I'm just going to throw this out there. Let's say that there is a group of people working for the same company. And what happens is that for whatever reason, they have toilet issues. They need to go to the bathroom.
They have diarrhea.
It's chronic. Let's say it's chronic.
And okay, irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah, and let's say there's 10 of those people in that office that have irritable bowel syndrome and have to be in the bathroom on a regular basis? Are we going to compensate those people that have strong stomachs?
No, we should nick the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Just get a punch card system so people... Here's an idea. I never thought of something like this. You have a big clock. We'll call it a time clock.
Oh, interesting.
And it has a card.
Uh-huh.
And so if you leave the area where you're supposed to be working, you punch it, boom, and then you go do what you want to do, which is to go to the bathroom or go take a cigarette break, and then you punch the card again when you get back to your desk.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah, and what about
those
people
modern?
What about those people that are chronic Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat users in the office?
Yeah, fire them.
And the people that have smartphones actually are the people that have flip phones, should they be compensated more? I mean, this the whole thing is ridiculous.
You just fire everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, just get robots. Why not? Right? That's what everybody's doing anyway. Tesla. Tesla has used its solar panels and batteries to restore reliable electricity at San Juan's Hospital de Niño, which is the children's hospital, in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, good.
Because, I mean, still about 90% of the people in Puerto Rico, and actually we got to scroll down for a second about this, because there was a lot of crap going on with this whole Puerto Rico deal. Did you see this story that a company, this small utility company?
Two-man company.
In where was it? It was in like Wyoming.
Utah or someplace.
Yeah.
Or Wyoming or Utah.
Wherever
someplace. Like.
They were getting a contract for $300 million for power restoration for the power grid. And then the Daily Beast tried to put it to that they were a major contributor to Trump in this whole investigation. A company called Whitefish Energy Holdings. Two employees. It seemed ill-equipped to handle the task, et cetera. And they were getting paid $300 million with a non-bid,
no bid.
Anyway, the contract's been rescinded.
Oh, poor guys.
But they were probably happy for a few days there, huh?
Yeah, well, they probably get more money than they deserve just to rescind the contract.
Oh, possibly. But I mean, this was crazy, absolutely crazy. But Elon Musk to the rescue. He's putting in solar power and getting the hospital back up and running. You know, he wants to put solar throughout the whole area. Which, by the way, what happens when the next hurricane comes through like that? Doesn't that destroy the solar panels?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. So, all right. Last thing before we go to our next part of this, announcing the next closest to the pin, as well as that all important donation segment, did you watch any of the congressional testimony with Facebook, Google, and Twitter?
Only a little bit. I'm going to bear down and watch most of it tomorrow.
I was watching it, and I don't want to be... please, just for a moment here, okay? I was watching, and there was three gentlemen that were providing testimony.
Yeah.
One of the gentlemen... I thought I walked away and I didn't hear him speak. And I came back and I thought it was a woman speaking. Did you?
So we got a lot of that around here.
This is the Google's person.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. Tell me what's going on there. I thought it was interesting, but I'm just saying, I thought it was interesting.
We have something, something's in the water.
Oh, man. Oh, it's Raleigh from California. Good point. But it seems that 131,000 messages on Twitter and there was an upload of over 1,000 videos on Google, 126 million users on Facebook saw these inflammatory posts that were supposedly from Russia. This whole discussion, I closed my eyes for a second. I thought it was like McCarthy hearings.
You get a little of that.
That's what it sounded like to me. The Russians. I'm like, what, the Russians? How are the Russians doing all this? I mean, I guess it's possible.
No.
So, no. And the big question about all of this that I thought of, I'm thinking, you know what? When will people learn that social media is opinion and it's not to be trusted for news? I just don't understand.
And it's usually inaccurate. Opinions based on inaccuracies.
Right. It's just opinions off the wall that somebody's just...
Rosanna Dana.
Hello, it's Rosanna Dana. The research company Kantar surveyed 8,000 people in the U.S. recently, in the Brazil and Britain and France, and found that newspapers, magazines, and TV news outlets have retained a greater measure of public trust than digital specialists have. Digital specialists being the various social media platforms. Overall, 58% of those surveys said that as a result of becoming aware of fake news, which is already scary, like they couldn't figure out what's real or not, they had less trust in social media news stories about politics or elections. And for mainstream media, the figure was 24%. So mainstream media seems to have a much higher level of trust, which is scary also, but I think that's much more reasonable. Where to get your news from.
Yeah. Well, and you can cut out the articles.
Yeah. Speaking about articles, go to Bloomberg.com news and you'll see that the new thing is you have to now log in, register for free access to any of the articles that you want to read.
You can follow. Well, that's a trend.
Yeah. Follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter. Yep. You got to follow him there. Myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word. Of course, you could send us donations. We don't have a particular reason why you should send a donation, like we did recently with our shameless discussion of Indigestion Central. But you can please do so. Go over to DH Unplugged and click on that little icon, and you can donate. And we could use your money because we actually had some things for development recently that we needed some money for. So we had to jump into the coffers and grab that, and any kind of help does help. Anything on that?
No, I think it's a good point. It costs money to do the podcast.
It does. All right, announcing, and it's another thing that costs money is the shirts that we send out and things like that. The close to the pin for General Electric I put on there. What do you think about that? That's a good one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is there any end in sight to the downtrend of the stock?
Well, there has to be.
Eventually, I suppose. But you can go over to DH Unplugged and put in your price guess for General Electric. There's a little chart there. They'll give you a little bit of guide where the stock is, and you put in the price, and the winner will receive a DH Unplugged T-shirt and a winner certificate, as well as be in the running for the end of year competition.
Which is coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up soon. All right. More Cartax. We have to get a name for this thing. Cartax. In New York. Did you see what's going on today?
Well, yeah, the truck ran over a bunch of people on the bike path.
Yeah, and then he came out and he had some fake guns. He had a paintball gun and a pellet gun.
Yeah.
Which then the policeman shot him. And I think 8 people died, a dozen or so hurt.
And 20.
20 people now. And supposedly he got out of the truck screaming, Akbar, Rabah.
Nobody knows what he was screaming, apparently.
Yeah. Lunatic. Yeah, probably screamed. But the gas pedal was stuck. Who knows? But supposedly this is being treated as a terrorist act.
Yeah.
You know?
Car tech.
Terrible. I find this to be more disturbing than pretty much any other kind of attack because it's so easy for anybody to do.
Yeah.
And it's so, when I say innocent, what I mean by that is somebody just driving a car, nobody thinks about, oh my God, that guy's going to make a right turn, just mow us all down. Whereas if somebody's walking through the street with a giant blade or a gun, maybe you go walk the other direction.
Right.
You know?
Yes, it's pretty frightening in his concept.
Yeah. And I think it was a Home Depot rented truck.
Yeah, and he drove it up from Florida. Again, here we go with Florida again.
Of course it's Florida. Of course. Fair.
It's where it came from.
Everything's Florida.
Florida, the land of the nutballs.
Only second to California.
No. California does not hold a candle, despite our huge population.
Oh, I'm feeling really bad.
That's okay. Would you go to Trader Joe's?
Good one. I like it. All right. Quick thing on one more point here. So we do send out our regards and our prayers and our wishes and all that. My daughter's in New York. She checked in safe. I know some of our listeners. I know, for example, Dame Tanya is in New York City as well. So I hope everything as well there. By the way, keep on posting those awesome food posts, Tanya, particularly from like the Monk place, and where I think you were drinking some whiskey out of a bone marrow thing. That was pretty awesome.
Whiskey and bone marrow.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah, I got to do that. I have to do that. Somebody brought this to my attention. I am not really, this story is weird to me. So supposedly the question was being asked, is Facebook listening to conversations, even though, you know, listening to your talking about things when the app is on or when the Messenger app is on? And what they did was a test, supposedly, where they put the Facebook app on. They started talking about cat food. They don't have a cat. They never talked about cats. They don't write about cats. Nothing about cats. Okay. And they started for a couple of weeks talking about cat food. And lo and behold, while the app was on, not because the app is not supposed to be listening, but right. And supposedly 2 days later, after about a week or so, or maybe 2 weeks of talking about this, they started to get cat food advertisements in their Facebook feed.
Yes, I think this needs a little more looking into. I mean, if you don't have cats, you know, and you're going to try to pull this experiment, you might have casually or stupidly gone to Google and, just to get a little background on cats, look something up, and that could account for it.
Yeah, possibly they looked up.
If the experiment was done clean, which I doubt, but if it was, then this is scandalous.
Scandalous. That they're actually listening to begin with. Yeah, that's why I have an Amazon Echo device right here. I'm looking at it. I haven't plugged it in. I'm still nervous with it not even being plugged in. It's just sitting here with no power. It still makes me nervous.
Yeah.
You don't know. We have to look into this. If anybody hears more about this, I'd like to know about this kind of thing. But anything's possible.
By the way.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
You think they should do that?
No, I don't think they should do it. I mean, I don't think they should do it. But I think doing it is a great idea. You just snoop on everybody. And then you can find out what they want to buy, what they're thinking about, and you give them some ads. American way.
In New York, there's a new rule that will come into law in the next 30 days or so. It means that vaping will be banned in places including restaurants, bars, and offices.
Ah.
So there you go.
Good.
Mm-hmm. A few other things here. All right. What are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
I'm calling the Apple X, iPhone X.
Yes.
The Vista of Ooh. Apple.
Oh. Oh, that has a very bad connotation.
And I'm
You're not also calling it the ME. You're not saying it's the ME. You're saying it's the Vista.
No, Vista.
Vista.
And so I'm also going into the little discussion we had on the show recently about how the missing circle may have jinxed the phone and maybe jinxed the company.
The missing...
I know, did you hear this discussion?
About that they're getting rid of the... the home button.
Yeah, because it's a circle, and they've been nothing but successful when they implemented the first circle on the iPod, and then on the iPhone, always had the circle, and they have this big, huge headquarters that's a giant circle.
Oh.
And so everything is about the circle, which I think is probably containing demons, and they've released the demons with the iPhone X.
Oh, I see what you're saying. There's now an opening of the circle, therefore allowing for all the bad to come out. They've contained anything bad.
Been contained for all these years.
Right. They've kind of opened the door to the dark side now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
That's what the column's about.
Well, I'm really kind of interested to find out about this whole it's now a haptic. It's a pressure sensitive, and I guess I guess you got to change things just to change them. If things are working really well, let's change it.
Well, they figured Samsung will do it anyway. By the way, I want to just say this about these phones, because half the family has Samsungs, half the family has iPhones, and I have an old Nexus. And the current Samsung line of phones from the 7 on have the world's greatest speaker and clarity of any phone I've ever heard. It's so good. It's astonishing.
Wow. That's you don't hear that every
and
day.
And then I bring it up with these guys and they say, yeah, you didn't know that.
And the cameras were really good for a while and well ahead of Apple. They caught up a bit.
Well, it's the sound quality. You can't believe how good it is.
Hmm. And you don't think it's the network? You think it's the actual phone?
It's the same network I use.
Hmm. Well, we'll see. I mean, supposedly this is going to be a significant investment. It's more expensive than buying a laptop.
Yeah.
It's like $1,100 or something like that.
Yeah.
And now they went on the subscription plan. Okay, we'll see. All right, let's take a look over at the stocks that we pick each and every week. A game that we play, not a recommendation to buy or sell any security at all. It's just something we do for giggles and things. But basically, we usually have a 10% stop on it. If you decide for whatever reason to utilize any of these ideas, please do your own research and go to a professional advice to do the review of whatever it is. You could lose a lot of money, of course, and we're not going to be.
Well, if you would buy this one, we've gotten to the point where this only happens rarely, but it's happened. More red than green.
Yep. I find that very interesting, by the way, because what I find interesting about this is that we have a selection of longs and shorts on here. A couple of them working, of course, and a few of them stopped out here. But what I find interesting about this is that you have a market that is moving up on a regular basis. And usually stocks follow, but somehow, some of these names, I mean, it could be just coincidence. They're just not doing well. Usually the market will just pull everything up, and we have a lot more buys long side on this than shorts.
Yeah. It's very strange. Yeah. But, there's the numbers that the stocks that have not been kicked off, except for Liberty. No, that got kicked off too. Most of these got kicked off, and so it's going to look a little different next time. And the other ones like Global Star, one of my insiders' picks, is only down 0.62, even though it is in the red.
Right. That's a small price stock, so that could move.
Yeah, and I got another one today.
All right. You want to go first? You want me to just throw mine out there?
Throw yours out there.
So I'm just going to pick Cara Therapeutics. Now, Cara Therapeutics hit a support level at about 1175 a couple days back, and it bounced right off it. It's at 1250 now. They have earnings coming out, and they have some data that's going to be released, it looks like, in the next few days on some of their drugs. Now, we've used this name before with a lot of success. It's a pretty – it moves a lot. One of the things they have is a pain basically they have a pain – a drug for pain that is not an opioid. It's non-opioid, and it deals with certain receptors and cutting off those receptors so that you won't feel the pain without having the addictive properties. And that seems to be – if they can get this going, it'll be something very beneficial. So we'll see. I'm going to put that on there.
Mm. Okay. Sounds like something dangerous. I'm going with it does.
All right.
The company is Idera Pharmaceuticals.
IDRA. You don't think this is? They've been moving the last few days pretty nicely, Idera.
Yeah. Well, I'm going long on this one.
Okay.
It's still way down from its highs. And my rationale is very simple.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to lose concept of Baker Brothers.
Oh.
The boys have come in with $12 million of a buy on this sucker.
I just put that on my spreadsheet, and we obviously used them before because it automatically populated once I pushed BA. Baker Brothers populated.
Probably.
That's funny. Baker Brothers. Yeah, they've done well by this game. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to cut it because we're running right out of time here, and hopefully everybody will join us again. Make sure to go over on DH Unplugged and check out all the different pictures, the show notes, et cetera. Listen to all the different things. Retweet and tweet and retweet all of the tweets that go out about the show. We really appreciate all your support, and don't forget to donate. Donate, donate. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.